in this place tonight. Yes? There's victory in this place tonight. Tomorrow night be good night. Tomorrow night might be a great night. But tonight's a victory night. And if you need something in your life, you came to the right place because God's here in this place. And He's the God of victory, am I right? So, you and I have the pleasure of His acquaintance, am I right? We've been invited to a dinner to be given in His honor. And that's what the Word of God is. And you and I recognize that He's here. And what He's doing is actually breaking His own life for us. And we're eating of those everlasting things. The bread of heaven, still the bread of heaven, yeah? All right. Thank you, God. So, Reinhard Bonnke thought that he should find somebody to replace him. And what I'm doing is putting the gospel in your heart. God touch this baby and all these people. Because you know what? One of these days, some little tyke's going to run up to you and say the same thing. Yeah? And that's because you got a lot of stuff to do in front of you. You're looking great. Everybody in this place. We're in a changing world. But the one thing that can never change is prayer. And that's a bedrock. When I was growing up, everybody talked about their praying mothers. That's just the way it was. The church we went to, the Denver Revival Tabernacle, for a while, when I was a little tyke, those people walked with God, talked with God. They had a son named Gary and a son named Ronnie. How convenient that turned out to be. But during World War II, God woke Sister Cooper up and said, pray. Pray for Ronnie right now. Pray. Man, she just kept praying. And that burden wouldn't lift. That burden wouldn't lift. That burden wouldn't lift. And she testified of that thing. And she found out later that on that morning, a Japanese submarine was trailing the ship he was in and had fired torpedoes at it. And God is a delivering God. That's the kind of God we serve. That's what we want. The spirit and presence of God knows how to bring us into a place. But you guys, we forgot the urgency of prayer. Mothers that pray for their children, dads that pray for their children, serve God and do justice to their children. Everything you give your child is not compared to prayer. That's why we have dedications to babies, to God. We dedicate them to God. But what we need is to have a consecration in the babies. You get consecrated to God. You start serving God with a heart that's surrendered to Him. God can do anything in you He wants to do. I was listening to a testimony yesterday, Rachel and I, and this pastor in Georgia had given a testimony about a kid from Arkansas during World War II. And they'd taken a small island in the Pacific. And there was a flagpole where there were some buildings, and the sergeant that was in charge of the platoon that was most intact said, we're going to put the American flag up that to claim we own this island. And young man after young man tried to take that flag up that pole. Some of them were just wounded. Some of them were killed. And finally the sergeant said, I hate to do this. But he said, I feel like it would be a morale thing for everybody if our flag was on the top of that pole. And I want somebody to volunteer. And the young man raised his hand. He said, Sergeant, I'll put the flagpole. I'll put that flag up on the top of that flagpole. And he said, okay, here's the flag. Go to it. He said, well, no, sir. He said, I need to wait till 4:30. And the sergeant said, okay, need to wait till 4:30. We'll wait till 4:30. 4:30 came, and when it was just absolutely right on the dot, he took that flag and walked across towards that pole as though he was just in open territory, and bullets were flying around him. They were hitting in the dirt. You could see how close they were coming to him. Got to the flagpole, shimmied up the flagpole, hung the flag on the flagpole, and then lowered himself down. He didn't slide down. He just lowered himself down and walked back. And the sergeant said, "That's the most horrifically brave thing I've ever seen." And he said, I honestly, "I'm going to give you a commendation." But he said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure." He said, "How come you had to wait till 4 o'clock? And he said, "Well, sir, I grew up in Arkansas. And I had a praying mama." And he said, "I'd never been out of Arkansas. And when I got my orders to go to Oakland, California, I was scared." He said, "I was afraid." And he said, "I'd been as far as Pine Bluff, and I'd been as far as Fort Smith. That's it." And he said, "Now they're telling me I'm going to go halfway across this country." And he said, "My mom, the morning that I left, my mom took my hand and prayed for me that God would protect me. And she said, as long as you're gone, I want you to know every day at 4:30 I'm going to pray for you." That sergeant said, "Well, son, we're way out in the Pacific. It's not 4 o'clock in Arkansas." He said, "I know that, Sergeant. But but I knew I could go in my mother's prayer." So he said, I just gave a message to heaven. I just want heaven to know. What we need is to understand that we make a difference for the church. For the church. The church in Jerusalem made a difference in Jerusalem. And then when the hardness of heart and the stiff-necked people fought him, God moved all of the church out of Jerusalem, except just a few apostles. Am I right? He moved them out. And you guys, those people prayed. Those people were praying people. Now here's what the deal is. If you let your heart be hardened, those prayers that people are praying to God to bring victory to the city has an adverse effect on you. Are you hearing me? So when people are praying, "God bless the city, God touch this city, God bring faith to this city, God do something to this city." Those people that stayed in rebellion, those people that stayed against God, anti-God, those prayers began to do something adverse to them. But to the people that wanted to serve God, He scattered them. And when the Roman Empire came and tore that place down and killed and plundered, the people of God weren't there. The people of God weren't there. That's what you want in your life. That's what I want in my life. I want to be where God wants me to be because I've chosen to walk in that place of obedience. And I want people to pray for me. I want people that pray, that honestly pray. That's the thing that makes a difference in everything we do. I believe that God turns elections by prayer. I don't believe that you need to go out and do a whole bunch of stuff. This isn't a politic thing. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking the Spirit and presence of God. I know, first chair. I love that stuff. You look older somehow. I won't reveal her age, even though it changed today. But the great thing about the Spirit and presence of God is that the church needed answers, yeah? And we read Sunday or Wednesday, I don't remember, I had a glorious time preaching it, but the thing is, they ask Jesus, "Are you going to restore the kingdom to Jerusalem at this hour?" And He said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has kept in His own power." Yeah? So it's not for you to know those things, but He said, "You'll receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what's interesting about that power is they were talking about, he talked about God's power and their power, and those two words are different words in the Greek. But the thing is, it's interesting because when you get power of the Spirit of God in your life and a direction, those two things, you don't need to know when the end is. You just need to know where the largest crowd is. Or you need to know what to do when you reach the man who's lame at the gate. Yeah? Because if you have your eyes on God, what begins to happen in your life is this motion begins to take place. And you don't care when the kingdom comes, because the kingdom's already come inside them. Yes? And I think that that's what the Spirit and presence of God proved to him, because Peter preached that sermon about Pentecost out of the book of Joel. Yes? And that's what God does. Spirit and presence of God does that very thing. So I want you to go with me. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad he's here. I want to go to the book of Deuteronomy. No, let's go instead. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Let's go to Ezekiel. That's closer. Nearly in the middle, yeah? To chapter 9. Thank you, God. So, I want the Spirit of God to be able to minister individually to people. I want God to bring prophecy. I want God to bring healing. I want God to bring wisdom. I want His Spirit to begin to touch people in this place. And I want you to understand that you want to ask God, God, I want nothing but Your anointed presence. I don't want anything from the flesh. I want only Your Spirit. If You're going to talk to me, talk to me. I'm jealous over God. That's what Elijah said. God said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm jealous over you. And when you and I get jealous and we have those gifts that move inside of us, we don't move them ourselves. We let the Spirit of God move them. But we have to accept by faith that He's doing it. And so what happens is that this presence of God wants to move. I believe in this place. And what I want is to have Him touch the lives of people who need a word from God. And I believe all of us in here could use an encouraging word from God. Amen. So I want Him to do that very thing. But I'm praying for that absolute victory, because I want God to give instruction and direction. And you guys, He knows what's going on in our life. So what I want Him to do is talk about the things that would make a difference in your life. Yes? And as only He can do it, to bring you to that place that you have confidence that He is doing that in your life. So I want the gifts to move in this place. I want the Spirit of God to do what He's doing. And I want us to turn ourselves over to prayer, because you and I have a place in faith that is created only in prayer. There's a faith that's created only in prayer. And what you need is to have that faith that comes out of that contact with the Spirit and presence of God. When you spend time in His presence, you're going to feel different about everything that you do in your life. So when it feels like, back in the old days, they would tell you that if your car felt like it was pulling a trailer up a hill, it needed a tune-up. And they tell you you need points, distributor, cap maybe changed, and so they would go and need plugs. So they tell you, you need points, condenser, and plugs. And so you went out to a hardware store, told them what kind of car you had, what kind of engine. They'd give you those three things. Then you go out and mess with your car. Pull that distributor cap off. And man, they've simplified stuff a lot. You can't even check your own transmission fluid now. That is a conspiracy. When you can't check the fluids, we all know better than to leave them unchecked, yeah? That's the way it is with our walk with God. You need the oil. you can tell when your life starts feeling like you're pulling a trailer uphill, you need a tune-up. Yeah? So go spend time with God. Just start spending time with God. If you have an opportunity to spend time with God, come spend time with God. And don't play around. You know what? Playing around is a dangerous thing. I had a dream when I left here the other night. And I tell you what, it was a discouraging dream because God showed me somebody in it that was disobedient. And somebody in it that had been in this church that died young. And when I have a dream like that, I got to tell you, I know that messing with God, thinking that you can pretend like you're staying for prayer and you're really not staying for prayer, you want the Spirit of God to do to you something that shakes you to the core. I'm not playing those kind of games. You need to make those decisions, yes? So what the Spirit and presence of God is saying, you know, here's where we're at. I'm going to get serious with God. And I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm not moving towards destruction. I'm not going to go to destruction. I'm going to go towards what the Spirit and presence of God wants me to do. I don't want to just talk. If I've come into this church to pray, I didn't come in this place to play, talk. What I want is to honestly get a hold of God. And you guys, we're living in that kind of an hour that the Spirit of God wants to do this. Here's the thing in Ezekiel chapter 9. So now we're talking about the punishment of Jerusalem from the Old Testament, yes? It has been carried away captive. This is not before the armies have come and destroyed the country. This is after. Ezekiel is a post-exile prophet. And he's bringing a message, still bringing a message to God's people. And the interesting thing is that God's still talking about rescuing and deliverance. Yes? He cried also in mine ear, in my ears, with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. Those that have charge over the city to draw near. Every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. So the people that had charge over the city have a destroying weapon in their hand? And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which leadeth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen. See, this is spiritual things, no works. If he's wearing wool, means that he's out there to do a job. If he's wearing linen, this is righteousness, yes? With a writer's inkhorn by his side, they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. We've preached about this a lot. That's because God is leaving the house. Am I right? God's leaving the house. Now, Jesus did the same thing. Because when he was ministering, he went into the temple that was there on the mountain, built by an Edomite, but it still was on that mountain, so it still claimed that status, and God still could call it a temple. Yeah? So Jesus went in there. But you guys, they kept confronting him and asking him whose authority he did these things by, and they knew fully well by whose authority he did that. But there was a war going on between him and the people that wanted to hold that place. So here's this prophet prophesying centuries before that. And this is what he said. The cherub was gone up from where he was to the threshold of the house. And now he's at the door. He's about to leave. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Listen, you and I can't let the world change our sense of righteousness and holiness so that we are content to live in a world that's wicked and we don't see it anymore. You guys, when I first moved to Lawrence, I'd had meetings in Topeka under the tent, and a whole bunch of people came from those meetings to the early church here. And one of the women said, I just saw this funniest movie. She said, you would love it. You'd love this movie. And it was, as far as I know, it was the first movie that Eddie Murphy made. And I got to tell you, I don't know where her ears had been. But that movie started, and that guy opened his mouth and began to use the most vulgar, wicked language. She and I were not comfortable with the same things. She said she was serving God. Listen, if you asked her, are you serving God? She said, I'm serving God. But she was used to something that vulgar around her life that she was just used to. And so she could sit through the movie and not hear it. Listen, if she heard it, I'm certain she would tell me, Brother Ricey, you wouldn't want to ever go see that movie. Because there's a difference between people who you're talking to. It's like you may tell your brother, oh, that was a kick. But listen, if you're telling the minister that he's going to enjoy that, you guys, there's something different. And that's because that's what happens to people, is we get stuff stirred up inside of us and it draws us away from God. And the devil doesn't tell you, leave God, leave God. Come on, leave God. What he tells you is something about somebody, probably in the body of Christ, maybe somewhere else. But he tells you something about somebody, and then you feel angry and frustrated about that person. And what you're doing is you're accepting the enemy's division between you and Christ, because Jesus said, what you do to the least of these, do to me. Now, you've had to forget that, because you're surely not going to sign up to fight against Christ. Am I right? So what happens, or you've forgotten that God hears everything that we say because he lives inside of us. If you invited him inside you, do you know what you did? You invited him to every conversation in your mind. Psalmist David said, I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart acceptable in your sight. So here's the thing. This is what the Spirit and presence of God is talking is you can get used to the world, and then what happens is it seems normal to you. I went to work for a sorority on the campus of KU. Sorority. 80 girls, pampered. Their dads paid a ton of money to put them in that place. And I'm a man, and I'm a houseman, and I have to tell people, before I can go on to the second or third floor, I have to yell, man on the floor. Yeah? And I soon found out that was an invitation for games. It's like, what? You guys, I came out of Arkansas. I was like the kid that was telling the sergeant, listen, I was in Arkansas, and I came out of Arkansas. I was afraid of everything. Well, I wasn't afraid of the dirt, but I got to tell you something. I knew what it was. And I came in the door one day, and they got this. They kept getting these obscene telephone calls from a guy on campus. Now, listen to me. He's calling a sorority that he knows where it's at. You understand that? And this woman is talking and egging him on. And I'm listening to this young woman talk, and I'm thinking, where am I? I mean, how could you call a place with 80 girls in it, and you get the one girl that answers the phone talks like that? Then I found out, well, she wasn't the only one that talked like that. You guys, you know why God put me in that sorority? He said, you don't know what the world is like. You live an insulated life. You travel with the gospel tent. You live in the woods of Arkansas. The only troubles you see is through the eyes of a deputy sheriff when you're out doing that stuff. You see what you're dealing with people that you're working with at Claridge Wood Frolic. But I want you to see what's going on in this place. And you guys, I left with a burden. I left with a burden. I was like, God, and I left. I didn't work there very long. And a preacher's wife, a widow, the preacher died, and she was the house mother. You guys, you can get used to the world and used to its stuff. But you can't if you're going to serve God. And the way to stay away from that is to walk in the things of the Spirit and presence of God. And that's what you want to choose. You want to choose, okay, God, I can choose the world, and it'll desensitize me. It'll put words in my mouth, and they'll just pop out of my mouth. And when I start doing that, I realize, whoa, put the brakes on. Where would that word come from? So God's telling his people, look, here's the thing. I'm telling you that what I told this prophet is I've torn this city down, but we're not through cleaning it yet. He said, you bring me men with slaughter weapons and a man that leads them. And he said, no, I want you to read with me. Verse 4 said, And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. That's why you feel like you feel. It's the reason that you feel that grief. It's the reason there's something inside of you that can't accept what's going on around you as normal stuff. It's why you don't partake in the conversations in a break room. Because you can't carry on a conversation with people that aren't talking about righteous things. And it isn't that you're trying to be better than everybody else. It is just that you're different than everybody else. When God cleanses you, He cleanses your mind. And you guys, the enemy wants to just put inferences inside that place in your mind that begins to separate you from the cleanness of God. So thoughts can separate you from the cleanness of God. You don't want thoughts to. And they can just be angry. They don't have to be dirty thoughts. And you can be angry at people that do pornography and think dirty thoughts against Christians. And your dirt is the same as pornography. You guys, you got to get the things straightened out. You have to realize, wow, there's no difference in sin. Sin is sin. But what God's talking to His body about is, listen, I've already destroyed the city. Did you think that was enough? Still got people there. I still have my people there. Now, so He says, we're going to do one more division. And He said, this time what we're going to do is we're going to send men with slaughter weapons. And they're going to kill every living thing in this city. This is ordained of God. And I'm going to send a man in front of them who's going to mark my people who are vexed by the abominations that live in him. Because you know what? That's the surest sign you're walking with God. Do you know that? If you're vexed by the things that the world does, that's a sure sign that God's Spirit and yours are in that perfect union. And the further you are away from that Spirit presence of God, the less the stuff in the world bothers you. And the world wants us to get along with the world. I don't want you to get along with the world. You don't want to get along with the world. You want the Spirit and presence of God to bring what He wants to bring through you. And that's what God does. Then I left that job and somebody called me and asked me if I would clean a business thing. And they were getting ready to open. They just built and I cleaned it. And the guy was super impressed with me. He said, listen, I've got houses out here. And he said, I need someone that will remove all the 2x4s. When they're done with construction, he said, I'm going to call you. And he said, if you've got a truck that can haul all that stuff off, he said, I'm going to pay you $500 a house. I'm thinking, how long would it take me to clean it? It must take me weeks. I could clean them in a day. $500. Then he told me, no, I want you to clean the windows like you cleaned the windows at that place in these houses because they're getting ready to be shown. And somebody's going to come look through them. And he said, I want you to vacuum them and just get them all ready for people to look at, okay? He said, I'll pay you $500 a day per house. Like, I've been in Arkansas. I'm just telling you. I moved up here. It's like, I could buy a truck. I could put my name on the side of the thing. Yeah? Christian movie. 7 women and 10 men. Yeah. And one day my phone rang. After about a year of that, my phone rings and somebody from the church says, Brother Risley, my son has been arrested for murder and he's in the jail in Oskaloosa. Could you possibly go and see him tomorrow? I said, I can. I shall. I called my boss. He said, He said, that's a conflict because he said that house that you're going to clean tomorrow is going to be shown in the afternoon. He said, think it over. And I knew I was doing the right thing. Yeah. Think it over. Because see, the devil knew that my mind was going to think, wow, that's a lot of money. But it's not what God called me to do. God didn't call me to make $500 cleaning up. And besides that, I burned wood, so all the 2x4s and stuff I took home. Battered, beaten, cut, right, straight, didn't matter. So here's the thing. So God said, what are you going to choose? And you guys, here's the thing. It's about coming down to this place that says, okay, God, look, I now have a conflict. And you go as long as you, because for as long as I had no conflict, I was blessing my process. Did you get that? As long as I had no conflict. It wasn't until I came to a conflict where someone was in jail. And here's the thing is I didn't really know the kid. I knew the mother. But But he's murdered somebody. What are the chances he's going to give his life over to Christ? I figured 100%. Or God wasn't going to send me up there. And the stakes weren't going to be so high. And I called the boss back. I said, hey, I'm not going to be able to come today. He said, okay, I'll get someone else. I said, okay. I went up and talked to that kid. Spirit and prayer. I ministered to him several times. Years later, my son Gary was in a drug rehab program in Dodge City, Kansas. And he comes out of a break room. There's a guy standing there. And Gary had his Bible with him. And the guy said, oh, you read the Bible? He said, yeah. He said, good. He said, I'd love to have fellowship with you. They sat down and began to talk. And he said, what's your name? He said, Gary Risley. He said, Risley? He said, your dad's not a preacher, is he? He said, yeah, he is. He said, that's the reason I'm a Christian. You think God won't send somebody a message? He sent my son a message. You know what? You have no business letting the enemy rule over you. See this kid here? He's gone through all this struggle. He's in rehab. But he has chosen to serve God. He's coming to these places. He wants help. He's getting out of this stuff. But he still has a testimony of what God has done with your dad. And Gary told him, listen, I would go to bed at night. My dad would be praying. I'd listen to him go praying while I went to sleep. He said, I'd wake up in the morning. Sometimes he'd still be praying. That's what makes a difference. And you guys, here's the thing. But you can grow up in that and not partake in it. So here's what you want. You want the Spirit and presence of God to remind you. Here's the thing that God's doing. Go through the midst of the city. Through the midst of Jerusalem. Now we're New Jerusalem. God still knows how to do this. And set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations to be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go you after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man on whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Because the judgment begins at the house of God. Yes? Yeah. Begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men that were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of the fury upon Jerusalem? Here's a prophet of God that sees the rebellion and wickedness and this fighting against God and the destruction of people. This isn't a city that these people are just bad and that they get up in the morning and do their astrology thing. This isn't just that kind of thing. This isn't they spend all afternoon watching soaps. These people have sin in their life. And this prophet has watched that sin and the degradation of God's people. And so here he is crying out to God, God, please, please don't destroy all these people. Now listen. Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. If that's not the message you and I are hearing right now, God's forsaken the earth. We don't have to fear God. There's nothing that we fear about God at all. I saw an ad for the NFL. And they were singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. And they were showing quarterbacks. They were showing quarterbacks from the National Football League. See, this country had a moral fiber in it that you couldn't put that ad on television. You could not put that ad on television. That wouldn't work in this country. And I'm talking just 50 years ago. I'm talking about just yesterday. You couldn't put that kind of ad. Now what happens, people don't notice anything about it except it's very clever advertising. That's not clever advertising. This country's got abomination going and it is belittling God. Listen, in the Ten Commandments it says, thou shalt not idly utter the name of the Lord thy God. Now we use it as thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. And I, you know, you've heard this so much, you know where I'm going. You got this memorized. Would somebody like to stand up and tell it? I know you all know it. Chance is running out. So what was I saying? Okay. Yeah, so John, do you know what I'm going to say there?
Yeah, basically it means you go out to do something in the name of the Lord, actually.
Yeah.
Not only are you unsuccessful, you're completely failing actually.
Yep. Yeah. Vanity. Yep. Don't idly utter his name. Yeah. Don't take his name and then fail at it. Because if they tell you that they found the dog beside the road, been hit by a car, and they tried in vain to resuscitate it, you get the idea. They tried, but they failed. Yes? So don't take God's name in vain. The Christian church has taken God's name in vain. It's talking about God, but you guys, there's no power behind it. So people go to churches, but there's no power to change their life. There's nothing that corrects them. Nothing confronts them. Listen, a good father corrects kids. A good father loves his kids enough to pray for them. I pray for my kids. But you guys, I correct them because I stand between them and the decisions that they make. And I get to revamp what they're thinking about. And you guys, the correction doesn't feel great, but it is great. And what the Spirit of God is telling us is, here's what I'm doing. I'm bringing my church back to the place that you recognize the correction's good for you. Because correction is instruction. Am I right? So if I'm wanting to do something, then instruction isn't a put-down. Instruction is instructions. And I need those instructions if I'm going to do the job right. So where do we get our instructions? Obviously, we get them from the fivefold ministry because God said that we're already holy people. And our goal is to get holy, yes? But we invited Him in, and so that holiness came in. So we already have that. He said, we are the saints. He said, I gave the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. So your perfection depends on ministries ordained by God to bring you to that fuller place of the stuff. And so you guys, here's what the Spirit of God does. He puts the Word inside of us and we live it. When He puts the Word of God inside of us, we live it. Because He said, it isn't enough to hear it, you have to do it. Not enough to hear it, you do it. And that's the thing that the Spirit and presence of God does to us. Because He said the people that heard it wouldn't do it, built their house. They built their house. And a flood came. But they built it on sand. And the house washed away. So you guys, we all know these things. God's just reiterating these things because He's talking to you and me about the things that we can examine ourselves by because we want this gospel to go through us. Yeah? I want the Spirit of God to do this to us. So now let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 9. Because you know Ezekiel and Revelations are the same book. And they tell you the exact same things. Only now we're in the New Testament, yeah? And the fifth angel sounded, verse 1 of chapter 9. And I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So we're back to the sealed people. So the first people that receive a mark in their head in the Book of Revelations are God's people. Yeah? And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was granted that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of scorpions when he striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So here's what the Spirit and presence of God is talking about. There are some people who are sealed in their foreheads. You want that. I want that. And that's because we're coming into an hour that as these things begin to come around us, honestly, in every generation, there's people that have been sealed. In every generation, God has sealed people because His judgment has moved in every generation. And what He's doing now is bringing us to a place where things are beginning to come to a final close because Jerusalem came back to being under the Jews. Yes, and that was one of the things that He said was a sign about the Gentile age. So you and I are living in a place where the Spirit of God wants us to operate in that kind of authority. Yeah? So you and I want the church to come back to being that kind of a light. We want it to come back to be correction to us because if I'm not corrected, I can't correct other people. If I'm not under God's authority, I don't have authority. You and I want the Spirit and presence of God to bring us to the place that He is able to do in every one of us what He needs done. And that's what you've been called for. It's just what the Spirit and presence of God does. So I know that He knows how to do those things in you. And it's all the time. It isn't just in ministry. I had a gospel tent, but I was a deputy sheriff and a woman ran a stop sign right in front of me. And I'm thinking, wow, she didn't look at all. Listen, I don't care who you are. If you see a deputy sheriff in his car setting up a stop sign on the other side and you blow through your stop sign, you're pretty sure that one of you is not happy. And I pulled her over and the Spirit of the Lord came on me. And He said, I want you to pray for her. So I walk up to the window and she's crying. And she's got papers. She said, look, I'm sorry. What did I do? I said, well, you ran through the stop sign back there. She said, I'm on my way home from the doctor. She said, I had some tests done and they came back. I have cancer. And she said, really, I can't think right now. She's in her car alone. She went to get the results of a test that had to do with whether or not she had cancer or not. She went alone. Like, wow, lady. I said, listen, I'm going to pray for you. And she just reached her hand up. See, that's who you are. That's where you have to be. That's what you want. It wasn't because I was out there along the side of the road looking for somebody to pray for. I just was there. But I was there and God brought us together because He knew I would pray for that woman. And that's what the Spirit and presence of God did. A guy was driving down the highway and I had the tent. I'm on 65 Highway in Arkansas. And he stops. He just pulls in and already the service is going. And I watch this guy pull in and he gets out and he's in a suit. And he sits in the back and the Spirit of the Lord moves on me to tell him something. And I walked back to him and told him about something about his family. And the Spirit of God was all over me and it came all over him. And you guys, then at the end of the service, now this guy that shows up, he's just driving down the highway and he's in a suit. It's like he didn't know there was a tent there. He didn't even live around in the area. But God prompted him to stop at that tent. God was in charge of that stuff. And then he told me what to tell him. And you guys, he left. He went back out to his car when the service was over. And then he came back in and he had a $100 bill in his hand. And he just said, Pastor, he said, I want to give you this. And man, he didn't know it, but I really needed the $100. But the thing is, what the Spirit and presence of God did was God just prompted him to stop. I did happen to be under a tent, so maybe you will deal with ministry that's physical like that. But the thing is, what you want is to be ready in the Spirit where God's power can do what He wants you to do in your life. That's what you want, and that's what I want. I want God to accomplish these things in every single one of us in this place because He knows how to get this stuff done. So if these marks of God would save people's lives, and obviously they had to be marked. He calls them grass, calls them green things, because they're life. Am I right? Because they're life. And they're tapped into water. If you're alive and you're not tapped into water, you turn yellow or brown. These things are all green. They're all still alive. But you guys, it's interesting that God doesn't talk about them being men. He just talks about them being living things. And the Spirit and presence of God makes you and me understand, okay, that's what we want. We want the Lord to lead us into such a place that not only are we not part of those that are unmarked, but we are those people that mark people's lives. And that's what you get to do. But if you pray it every morning, God, not only do I worship You, not only do I want to serve You, but God, I want You to do something in my life that I'm like those people that make a difference about eternity. I want to make a difference about eternity in people's lives. Yes? So we want the Spirit of God to do something in this place. Now listen, we're going to pray. Because I know that God has brought you and me together. And I know that He has something for us in this place. And what I want to do is stand together. We're all going to stand together. We're going to pray. Because I want God to just take control of your life and mine. And I want His Spirit to bring us to that place. That He has something for us. And God has spoken in these revivals in the past. He's talked to people and His Word comes to pass. I know that's true. But you guys, I want a transfer here. I want a transfer where the Spirit and presence of God moves gifts and moves it out of somebody that has it into somebody who wants it. I believe God does that. And so what the Spirit of God does is brings us to a place that just says, okay, God, I want more of You. I want You to bring into my life those things that would finish what You started. Yeah? And so I want to pray because we're going to start this thing where God's in charge of everybody. I want you to pray for the people around you. Because you have power in prayer. I want you to begin to exercise those things. Jesus, God, we pray for every single person in this place. And God, we pray that Your gifts would begin to stir. God, we're not going to move until Your Spirit moves. We're not going to talk until You talk. But God, I pray that You would show me anything that You would start tonight. God, I'm in no hurry. I'm in no hurry. God, I want people who are able to receive the things that You say. God, I want people who are ready to have You speak to them. And God, for You to bring those things to pass that only Your Spirit can bring to pass. God, I pray for every family in this place. God, that Your Word would come into us, a word of edification. God, we spoke last night about the edifying of the gifts. And God, we want that to happen to us. Edify us. God, change and transform us. And then God, move inside of us, Lord, with these gifts of the Holy Spirit. God, we want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. God, I want to start where starting is. God, I want the Holy Ghost of God to baptize every person in this place. God, we want to tarry for the Holy Spirit. God, we want to come in this place. And God, we want to spend time before the throne. God, together in corporate prayer. You did that at the day of Pentecost. God, when all of these people were in one accord, Your Spirit fell down on everybody. I want that again. God, I want that in invitation to be accepted and the baptism of fire to be poured out. God, that the Holy Spirit of God would infiltrate every heart and mind. God, that we would welcome You. God, that we would throw the temple that we are open and that You would bring these things to pass. God, in Your righteous name we pray. God, in Your righteous name we pray. God, You're a mighty God. And Lord, I thank You for what You're doing. Lord, You're a God who's brought us to a place that only Your Spirit could bring us to. And God, I just pray it in Your name. God, You do what You do in our lives. God, You speak to us and bring this fullness of what it is that You've ordained to have in our lives. God, I pray it in Your name, Jesus. And God, nobody leaves this place without Your Spirit touching every single person. God, we're not going to leave this week accepting less than what You did in the book of Acts. God, we're not accepting less. You offered that for the church forever. God, it wasn't something that went away. And God, You said the church could get lukewarm in the last days. And God, that's because there's such stuff going on. God, it's easy to get sidelined and distracted. But God, bring our focus back to You. God, in the name of Jesus. God, in Your name we pray. Lord, we ask You to do these things as only Your Spirit can do it. God, in Your name we pray. God, in Your name we pray. God, in Your holy name. Jesus, I just pray it in Your name.